Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. We'll call everybody, all the board members are here, so thank you. The agenda approval, the current agenda approval, could we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Okay, public comments. Any public comments on that? Hold on, Kurt. Kurt wants to say something. I'm trying to unmute him.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Leo. I wasn't on the agenda, but I wanted to introduce myself to the group. I know a couple of you, a few of you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I just left the CSD board meeting for archery in Indian Hills, Zealand. And Steve has drafted, he's well aware of this, a document for the archery club down there called Mojave Archers. I've been in touch with these people for a while. I've got good communication with the president or the vice president. And the reason I did that is because it's my ambition to start a club for the Wrightwood area. And the good news is I've got a place, some land where we can shoot. And then when it rains, of course, I live across the road from the Catholic camp, formerly known as Maristella, now called Camp Lolek. And I've met with the camp director and the family that has purchased that camp, and they're interested in me starting an archery program for them as well. I'm retired. I spent most of my career, 25 years in the energy business. I've been a risk consultant, safety director for a large corporation based in Irvine, and retired about a year ago, but a lifelong love of archery, the sport, started in Colorado in my youth, and since that time I've worked with USA Archery, and I've earned a level 2 certification, which gives me the ability to teach other instructors, to become instructors, level 1 instructors. And it offers other side benefits, including additional insurance and things where we shoot where we like to shoot. So with all that said, and it was interesting they handed me the minutes from a package they're going to look at tomorrow. And Steve, I'm looking at your Exhibit A for responsibilities of Mojave Archers, and they're all very reasonable. And everything that I perceive to do would be under USA Archery guidelines, National Field Archery Association guidelines. There are a lot of very stringent guidelines that offer or protocol for shooting recreationally and in tournaments and so forth. The beauty of the program like this, I see, as well as things like the one thing I can think of, three things, flag football, baseball, softball, and field sports that have been run through the Parks and Recreation System. I thought, well, this is kind of a natural fit for Parks and Rec, with a place to shoot, not so much a tournament, but more neighborhood shoot, introduce kids to the sport. With the kids come the parents, with parents, with the family, and it just becomes more interesting and more fun. Through the USA Archery, I have a colleague down in the San Diego area. She was a national collegiate champion. She was a Olympic holster. She shoots down there still today, runs her own business. I consult with her all the time. I actually worked with her. Through the Pendleton, I worked or shot through the Pendleton Archery, the Pendleton Sportsman's Club. So I'm not a great archer, but I love to organize and shoot. So I saw this opportunity. I just barely slightly pitched it to Leo one morning when I met him at the restaurant. I was with one of the officers of the Mojave Archery Club. My idea there was I didn't want to trip over a club so close by. I didn't want to step on their toes. And we've had some discussion, and I think they realize, we all realize, there's probably a niche for everyone. They're about to embark on a big project, a lot of acreage with a big range, great place to shoot, which I said, I joined their club, and I will be a volunteer helping them out, and I think that will be that reciprocal effort will be realized for us as well. I don't have numbers for you. I don't have, because we don't know really what it, we all know that it can be something that I think we all would agree would benefit the community. Let me stretch it just a little bit more to say that under USA Archery, the children's program, young adults program, there's something called JOAD, the Junior Olympic Archery Development Program, and I know some youngsters down in Murrieta who are working their way through that program. You know, a couple of young girls, and it probably will lead to college scholarships for them, and what their ambitions are certainly to be members of the national Olympic team at some point in time. So there's always a great achievement out in front of young people as they're introduced to the sport. I'm going to stop right there because I've taken a few minutes to do that and ask if there are any questions at this point.
So Kurt, this is the public forum, so we'll take all this information, and if you've got a packet or something that you want to present at the next board meeting, we can put you on the agenda then.
Thanks, Leo. That was really my ambition. I wanted to just bring kind of a high-level presentation today, and I will put some members together and work with your parks and recreation people, including Natalie, to see what makes sense and what's the benefit to the community, certainly what's the benefit to the CSD. And I see it as the banner of it. The overarching banner is the Wildwood Community Service District, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt.
I'll bet you now.
All right, thanks, Kurt.
Thank you.
Any other public comments out there? Okay, we'll go ahead and continue on. The agency reports. I found the sergeant out there.
Yes, hello.
Yep. Welcome.
At the last meeting up in the Redwood area, we had 100 calls for service and 9 reports. Those reports were for various things such as Illinois juveniles, federal property, nothing too major. Quick note on the issues with the snow players. It looks like county council has decided to go ahead and change some of the verbiage for snow play areas and also add some additional signage in this area that will help out for law enforcement next year as far as enforcing the no parking for snow play issues. Obviously, we're not going to have to worry about that too much right now with the weather changing. So hopefully we'll see those get up pretty soon. With actually enforcing the law, but it would still be important to try to get the word out to people coming up to visit that there are new laws and that the laws have changed and that there is no parking up here for snow play reasons.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Any other agencies out there? CHP, roads?
CJ
from Verizon. Yeah, CJ.
Just real quick, just in case you guys haven't heard yet, county is moving into the orange tier tomorrow, allowing increased capacity for businesses. And also, on June 15th, the governor announced today that we're moving on to the tier system on June 15th, so we can continue on the current trend. And that means that only income remains back to the pre-pandemic, but masks will be required according to the governor. Tested hospitalizations stay low, and a 65 vaccination. And also the county announced as well, I think it was today, that residents 16 and older are now eligible to be vaccinated. So again, the information can be found at fcovid19.com/vaccine. And if you go to fcovid19.com/vaccine/location, you can see those county health appointments, or you can call the COVID hotline as well information on the website. In the state as well, on April 15th, the state will be allowing statewide for vaccination for everyone.
Great. Thank you. things I'm serious about here.
Really bad thing, or...
Yeah, as a reminder, everybody's off mute at this point, so if you could go on mute if you have other noises in the background. We've changed this a little bit to make it easier for the public to comment. So just if you have noise, thanks for the mute.
All right, we'll carry on. The consent calendar.
DJ, one question on the math.
Go ahead, Chuck.
No, I just wanted to ask you about the mask situation, CJ. Has that changed for outside activities?
As far as I know, there's still a statewide mandate of activities and movements for reasons. As long as they believe in yourself, you know, you can make it on the state protocol at this point.
Thank you.
Now we know where the noise is coming from. Okay, consent calendar, March 2nd, board meeting minutes. Have we looked at them?
Nothing stuck out to me.
Yeah, they look okay to me, Leo.
Okay, so do we have a motion to approve the regular board minute meetings? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, carries on. Thank you. Item number 6, General Manager's Report. Lori?
Well, as CJ was saying, this month we've seen some changes in the pandemic. We've moved from the purple to the red. And as of the time I wrote this, we were poised to move into the orange, but it was very possible for today. So we are in the orange. We are taking applications for building rentals on a modified basis. Current protocols include masks, social distancing, cleaning requirements, and attendance limits. Currently, we're limiting attendance to 40 people or less. We've both the Lions Club and AA back in the building, and we've gotten several rental requests from other groups. And yesterday, I think Tammy got like 3 at least, just in one day. The statewide parks program grants were submitted, and we're waiting to hear if we will be awarded either. Michelle, like I told you, it's supposed to be late summer, but we know how the government works, so it could be next year. The CWC website is being updated. We now have sections on wildlife and lost and found. Additional information and pages are being added and updated as time allows. We have some large broken branches in the trees at the playground that have been removed. I contacted the Forest Service about removing the burn notification sign, and that's now gone. The county has been contacted about maybe doing some street sweeping to remove the cinders from the streets. The portable restrooms have been returned. There was an incident on Friday when they came to pick them up, where there was some spillage or something happened, and requiring our maintenance person to do some cleanup Saturday morning before the egg hunt. So I've got a call in to Andy Goat to take care of that. Dump carts are in process. Volunteers are welcome to come help stuff envelopes. Staff hours are increasing with the workload as new events are booked and the weather turns warmer.
I've got a question, Lori. So it strikes me that the 40-person capacity would include a large number. I'm wondering if you have an idea of like what percentage of our previous rentals were above 40.
You know what? I don't know. I was more concerned with what the capacity of the building was versus what the county says. So I actually have not looked at that. I can't tell you, but I know several of them were above 40 for like parties.
Okay. So a lot of our regular groups, it sounds like, can get back to
yes.
What they were doing before they choose to.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. Any other questions for Lori? Okay. Financials. March. Any questions on that? I looked down in shock, and they looked pretty good.
And the Lord is ready. Have we heard? Yeah, Mary, have you heard from the Register of Voters on what the cost for the last November 3rd election is going to be?
I have heard. We just got the bill in for LA County. It came in at $9,000. I've got a question to them about one of the line items. San Bernardino County is anticipating sending out their invoices by the end of the week, but they do not, they cannot even give me an estimated total at this time.
Okay, the $10,000 from the original Yes on CSC campaign and the first election, when is that final payment due?
It's on that last page on the financial statements. It's January.
January is when that's due?
Yes, and there are two payments remaining, not just one.
Oh, there are two?
Yes.
I think you were just maybe confused with that skateboard part. I think that one was set up.
No, I knew that, the $27,000, but what I'm looking here is the accounts payable. You got an election payment, $10,000, total estimated expense, $10,000.
If you look at the small print underneath it, it states that each payment is due January, two remaining. I like to put the caveats in the small print to make you work for it. I gotta have fun somehow.
Not when we owe $20,000.
Let's see, the last one was... I think the entire bill is over $40,000.
Originally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the original. Okay, we're expecting... What, about $160,000 left on the property taxes?
It's on the dating review. I forgot my notebook. Hold on just a second. I had to send a runner for it. it's downstairs. Give me a minute. I can tell you that after all the final property taxes and the just basic payments every month, at the end of October, we would have approximately $60,000 left.
Okay.
We are expecting approximately $120,000.
Okay. Hey, I'll talk to you more of that offline.
All right. You all done there, Chuck?
Yeah, I'll talk to you. I got some other questions I'll talk to.
Okay. Thanks. Steve, do we need an approval on the financials? Where do you go?
He's on you.
Yes, I think that would be appropriate, Leo. We have a motion on the March 2nd, 2021 financials.
I'll make a motion to accept the March 2021 financials. I'll second.
All approved?
Aye.
Yes, okay. Any naysayers out there? No. Thank you. Snow removal. I've got a little bit of background on this one. Snow removal powers. Back, I think, what was it, September, October? We walked through and talked to you about snow removal powers, and the board approved for us to go ahead and take a look at that at see what would entail. And Kathleen McDonald's here this evening to talk a little bit about it. And I'm excited about her report. I reviewed it. And it's quite extensive, so this this report's going to be very helpful for other board or board settings later on, whether we're here or 5 years from now. This is a good document to have, so that'll be a good one to have in our archives. So, Kathleen, if you want to give us a high-level view of what you uncovered, and I know your recommendations or recommendation as well, and then I'll go into the next the commissioning of additional reports. So go ahead, Kathleen. Let me unmute you. Okay. Hold on.
You just muted yourself. You have to unmute, Kathleen.
I think I did.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. It's nice to see all of you again. I recognize several of you. When the CFD contracted with me to look at the possibility for extension of powers for snow removal, the first thing that I looked at and questioned was the financial data. And as the outline, the front page of the report, the letter to the CFD states that the problem with snow removal is that it's not a general property tax expense item. It is funded through state reimbursements that come out of the Streets and Highway Code annual allocation. And more, even more importantly for snow removal, it's a reimbursement. The primary funding is a reimbursement for prior year costs. And, you know, you would be responsible for funding those costs annually, but you may not get all the money you need to expend. In the report itself, I gave you a chart, I think it's on page 6 of the report, and it identifies that the total expenses for the community as a whole, both Los Angeles and San Bernardino County, was in 1718 about $58,000. In 1819, it was almost $137,000. And in 1920, it was over $300,000. And on a reimbursement basis, for instance, in 1819, the district would receive, if you had that responsibility, $59,000, and you would be required to fund $136,000. Now, you would be reimbursed the following year, but you would still have to come up with that money. You would still have, it would be a reimbursement only for actual costs. And so that, to me, looked to be a potentially catastrophic situation for the district with limited resources. For instance, if you were to have taken over and you had to spend $300,000 this year and wait for reimbursement, you would probably, if you looked at the average, you would be $400,000 into this cost before you saw any reimbursement. And I don't mean to be disparaging to the county, but the district has already dealt with trying to get your revenues from the county in a timely manner. And at the inception of your district, it wasn't an easy process. You would also get reimbursements separately from each county. Now, I also discovered in this review that the County of San Bernardino and Los Angeles County Departments of Transportation had entered into a cooperative revenue agreement so that San Bernardino County would provide service for the entirety of your community. And as this report outlines, I think that's the best source for this service. But using the CSD as the communication point to provide areas of concern, or a forum to discuss issues. I know at one point there was discussion about the concern about the creation of berms during the snow removal process. And the information I received from the County of San Bernardino was that their policies allow for that. It does not have a no berm policy for any snow removal in any of the mountain communities in our county. So if there was to be a desire to look at changing that policy through the county, the CSD could be the forum to do that, but there's no resources available to do that. Also, I think those are the highlights of this. One of the issues when this was first discussed with me was that the district was looking for revenue enhancements. Snow removal is not a revenue-enhancing operation. It has the potential to be a significant drain on resources for 12 to 18 months. And that doesn't include, and I didn't go through and look at your insurance liability, because you would be hiring a contractor. There's no equipment coming to you to perform this service. My assumption would be that you would be hiring an outside contractor to do it on an as-need basis. But you would also be liable for any claims against that contractor or the district for performing that service. And I'm assuming that you have FDRMA, and they are not real excited about snow removal services being performed by local districts. So these are issues, and I just, from my understanding of the district operation, this is not one service that I would recommend that you pursue, especially don't pay the money for LAFCO to process a proposal, only to find out that it's not in your best interest. And I don't think this is in your best interest. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
And does the board have any other questions for Kathleen?
Hey, Kelvin, thank you. That's extensive. I mean, extensive information, and I appreciate all the work that went into it.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll go on to item number 9. And based upon what Kathleen has put together, I want to continue on commissioning additional reports. UIA is going to sponsor additional reports to see what kind of other revenue streams that we can acquire from the San Bernardino County, and I will work closely with Kathleen on which areas that we want to pursue. I've worked with her a couple of times the last couple of months. We had a couple of talks on the phone, and I think that's something that we can pursue from the CSD board side. So I just wanted to run this by you guys, and like I said, UIA is going to sponsor this report or these reports with a cap of $10,000, which is very generous. But this will also get us in position to see what are avenues of revenue that the CSD can possibly do over the coming years.
Leo, what was the cost of this report that was just commissioned or completed?
Hi, Kathleen.
And she's on me. It was $1,000, Leo.
$1,000.
Okay, thank you. And please give me a ballpark of how far $10,000 would go. That's regardless of how far it goes, that's a generous donation.
Yeah, this is a very in-depth report that Kathleen provided for. I just wanted to, if anything, it gives us a good understanding what Kathleen's deliverable is, and it's very well detailed. So I just wanted to run this by you guys to see if we could move forward on on having additional reports like this on additional hours, potential hours, that obviously we'd be running these reports back to the board to look at and to see if that's something feasible, but also Kathleen's expertise, which is unbelievable on her avenues of getting information for us and putting it together like this. So I just want to throw that out there to see what the board thinks about it. Any comments?
He's laughing.
Can you comment on that?
No, I don't have any comments. I agree with what Michelle said. I fully support doing this and exploring this, and I'd like to, you know, find out what type of additional revenue sources that we can bring up here. And I agree with what Sadie said, you know, to having a vision for what we want to do, but I think a lot of our vision will have to do with revenue, and so we need to find out where we can get that from. So I am thankful that you're putting this together, and thankful to UIA for supporting this.
Yeah.
Great. So can we have a motion to have Kathleen McDonald commission a report or two with a cap of $10,000, and I will work very closely with her on how we can do which problems we could go after based upon Kathleen's expertise.
Steve, is there anything we need to add to that motion?
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Okay. So I'll make a motion and.
Okay. So.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Maybe you're muted, by the way. For voting.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Item number 10. CRNR. So last meeting, it was a gentleman that was on. Kathleen, you can go ahead and go if you want.
Where are you hanging around?
She's done. Last meeting, we in the public comments, a gentleman was asking about recycling, and I called up Brad a couple of weeks ago, and that's one of the reasons why he's here, is to comment about CRNR recycling. And address the public comment of the recycling down at the dump. So, Brett.
Well, thank you, Leo, and thank you for allowing me to be here tonight with you. First, I'll address the issue that you brought to my attention with the gentleman at taking recyclable materials to the transfer station. We don't operate the transfer station. That's a county-owned transfer station that's operated by Athens Disposal. So as far as their recycling activity, they don't have much of a collection deposit area down there. If you're taking anything down there, for the most part, it all gets pushed into a transfer trailer and is taken out to the different landfill. I think they do have greenways and pull out some metals, but in general, they're not going to separate the paper and the plastic and all that. They're not going to do that. At our facility, which you come to before you get to the transfer station, we will take it. If somebody wants to recycle any of that material, we will add it to the material that we recycle for regular CSD and add it to that and make sure it gets recycled. Again, we're not going to pay anybody for it, but we will accept it there. For any public that wants to drop off any recycling material, we'll be happy to take it. At our yard? At our yard there. You can roll into our yard. We have containers there that people bring in all the time. We bring take a lot of paper. A lot of paper goods come in from a few businesses, so we bring our paper. We have a few people that don't have our service that want to recycle. They'll bring in all their plastics and just to do the right thing, to do the recycling. So we do have containers there for that. So general public can bring it in. We will recycle.
That's good to know.
So, as far as our program goes, or your program, I should say, is the curbside recycling program. I believe you got a report for last year's annual report that kind of gave you an idea of where we were and what we did for the year. Obviously, COVID interrupted part of that. We had facilities were shut down, so they weren't able to process. We're fully processing now. Everything that we collect is getting processed for recycling, both commercial and the residential. And for instance, for January, we collected just about 41 tons of recycling material in the recycling containers. Of that, 27, almost 28 tons of that was recyclable, collectible, or recyclable material. But with that being said, you know, we got 13 tons of that that is actually trash in the recycling containers. That's an issue that we need to start addressing, because the processing cost of that is 75% $1,500 a ton. So that's $1,000 a month we're paying for processing trash. We need to get that trash out of the recycling stream. So that's something that I'm starting to educate on. I'll probably be sending out some flyers, mail out flyers. I'll work with Lori as far as trying to get something on the CSD webpage to remind people of this, so that we're not paying for these processing fees for this recycling material.
Yeah, I think the timing of you being on this the CSD meeting tonight, and you know, getting people back in the mode of non-COVID, because last year we weren't doing that, or CRR wasn't doing the recycling piece of it. And I think getting the information out there, and maybe Vicky could help us as well in the newspaper to get that information out there, that the green is the green stuff, and then the blue is the regular trash stuff, and try to keep it separated.
Definitely. We need to work on this, make sure that we're getting this separated. And there are some new California State bills coming down the pipe that we may have to deal with. 1383, which I'm sure Steve is familiar with, that recycling mandates that are coming down from the state are requiring some additional recycling. Rightwood, with its elevation, its population, may not have to do all of those programs. They do include a green waste, a food waste program. At the commercial level, you still may have to do it. We need to work on that, so we work with Lori, and we need to dig into this further, because it does take effect in January of 2022. It's coming up very quickly. But once again, you may have some waivers on that. Whether or not you want them or not, that's really up to, you know, the CSD. There's costs, unfortunately, associated with that. Once I collect a bunch of food waste from all the homes, what am I going to do with it? It's a long ways to truck it somewhere. There's different costs involved with that. What's going on the recycling side? I entertain any questions that anybody may have.
Great information. Thank you.
No questions. You're that good. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Brad. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Agenda number 11. Agenda item number 11. Winter tourism standing committee. I know Chuck, you had talked about the report, and you were gonna do a quick review.
Yeah. Basically, all this is we did three community meetings on Zoom. I think it was in January the 14th, 16th, and 19th. And this is just an overview of what was discussed, some of the recommendations that people brought forth during those meetings. And I wanted to make sure that we put it in writing and had it out there. I think the one that we could probably start working on would be the first recommendation, which is to bring back the fall meeting with all the different service agencies and that type of thing, and for us to be involved in it. Basically, the property owners are the ones that brought this up after the fact, that they have what they call a Rightwood Coalition, that they want to get the property owners, the chamber, they wanted CSD. Both Sadie and I were at their original meeting representing the CSD. And I just wanted the rest of the board to see what was going on and where we'll go. And we'll probably bring up again that winter meeting with the different agencies and get the Fire State Council and those people involved, so that, you know, there's good stuff that comes out of that. I want to thank the sergeant for getting the different signs and the different areas, which should help us next year. But that's basically all this is more of an information for the directors, unless, Sadie, you have something else.
Quite a bit of work on lighting, and they're going to present that in the next agenda item.
Great.
And then with regard to the playground, we are still awaiting estimates, so we hope to have more for you next month.
Okay. Bye, Becky.
Do you want to add anything? Sorry.
No, that was
okay.
Thank you.
By the way, I was at the farmer's market at Feeland Farmer's Market yesterday. Was it yesterday, Wednesday?
Monday.
And they've got a beautiful little park back there with some nice equipment. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet, but it's nice back there.
Yeah, it's great. They're actually, I think, expanding onto that, or expanding that park to the surrounding area. So it looks like it's going to be really nice.
Yeah, they have a lot of space.
Yeah,
they have a lot of
space.
Okay, thank you. For Kappa Grand Stage Lighting, we've got some special guests for this, right?
Yeah, Ben Sutton and Davey Schneider wanted to give a presentation on the stage lighting project for the Eagle Scout project.
I don't know which one of us, either Ben or I, wants to talk. I'm willing to.
Feel free.
All right, I'll present it then. Let me pull up the all of the things that I wrote up about it. Right, so we've, over the past, eight-ish months, we've just put together the whole spreadsheet, the whole idea for the lighting upgrade. We're going to put two moving headlights where the current lights above the audience are. They're going to be, right next to them. They can move, change colors, all sorts of things. And backstage, we're going to have a total of, 10 lights.
Hey, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Can you let me share my screen?
Turn your video on. And also for the board and anybody else going along with the online packet, page 11 is a nice full list overview of what they're getting ready to describe, and then the following pages are the detailed breakdown of everything.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, there's Ben.
Hey there. If you could turn on participant screen sharing, I have a model so you can actually see what Davey's talking about.
Where it'll be in your meeting settings. You click that and then click share screen. And for everybody else, if you want to make that screen bigger, you can go up to the view section in the top right and go to speaker view.
Share screen? Okay.
Not use your screen, but participants to be able to share screen.
Okay, I don't know what that's
on. Or Leo, you can bring up page 11, like Michelle said. 9-11?
But Ben has a model he wants to show. That's not in this packet.
I have another way I can do it. That way you don't have to worry about it. Give me just a second. Start
Ben, can I continue talking while you're...
Yes, please do the note.
Okay, sorry, I've got my piece of paper pulled up now. So, as I said, I think it's a total of 12 lights, two in front of the stage in the audience and 10 backstage. They will all be controlled by a console which will be mounted to the wall, the east wall, in the north side of the room, right next to the piano, so it'll be nice and out of the way. Won't get in anybody's way. All of those lights will have a master switch for the current switches for those stage lights are. There's going to be a bunch of outlets in the ceiling on the stage for those lights. So we're going to be working with electrical. We're going to have a certified electrician come in and validate that we did our work correctly so that, we don't burn down the building, because that would suck. Yeah, so, and since this project is
We're hoping to use this as Ben's Eagle Scout project when the time comes, once the grant money has been secured to actually install this thing. We're going to have a few Boy Scouts. We haven't figured out exactly how many, but not a whole ton. We're going to have some Boy Scouts come in and assist us, as well as supervisors, and of course, we will all be strictly following all of the safety and COVID stuff, so no one will get sick. We'll all have masks and be nice and distanced. I think that's just about it. I can go into more detail, but that's boring, so I won't.
I'm real quick.
Yeah, you did it.
I did. So this is the community building, or at least a very basic version of it. So this is what David was talking about. These two lights here and here would be the moving heads he was talking about over the audience, approximately where the current fixtures are, going towards the stage. Then on stage, there would be multiple par fixtures, which are simply wash lights. These two right here, and these two over here, as well as bars to illuminate set pieces and actors or whatever's happening on stage. All of these things, except for three bars in front of the curtain and the two moving headlights above the audience, will be movable to anywhere on a pipe, which seems to have disappeared. Anywhere on that pipe that just magically came to be.
Yeah, so we're going to have some pipes mounted up on the ceiling of the stage. And those will allow us to move some of the lights around if we want to, or if the snowline players or whoever it might be using those lights, it will allow for them to move them. So a good majority of the lights will not be permanently attached. So that's another added feature.
Nice.
I think that's just about it.
Yeah. That is
also, I believe Lori included some pictures that I took of the community building. I drew on them. I just took pictures of where the lights are going to be and just marked some X's. So to give a better representation of where we plan on.
Davey, I did not include the pictures just because the package was so large. But I do want the board to know that when I met with Davey and Ben, and we were going over their plan and they were showing me what they had, it was very impressive.
Thank you both very much. I wanted to say that too. That was very impressive. I appreciate all the work you put into this, and I fully support this idea.
Yeah, Ben and Davey, what are you actually asking us for?
The money for the project, which initially was $2.5 grand, but we kind of decided we should up it to $3 just for headroom, because apparently that's a good thing to have, I guess. So realistically, it will cost barely over $2.5 grand, but we're asking for $3.
And so the intention is to use grant money towards this right now? This is what our proposal is. Okay. So as of right now, are we trying to approve payment now for this and then reimburse it out of the grant money here?
No, I think this will just all go right into the grant, the line item.
Okay. They're just presenting because they've done, extensive work on including measuring the entire inside, outside of the community building property and everything. So they're just, I think, presenting their work, but I think now we have to get approval, for all of it. They're not looking for advanced funding, as far as I know. We get that other project moving forward, but yeah, we get funding soon.
Ben and Davey, I'm
This is Leo. I'm very impressed with all the detail, especially the cost analysis. It's really, really impressive. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I agree, guys. You got my support. Hopefully we can get the grant stuff coming in and get you guys started.
Yeah.
Great, John. Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, for offering this opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, they've been working on this for quite some time, and I know COVID and everything else, but them staying at it is impressive in itself. Okay, item 15, community building appliances. Lori.
At the March 2nd meeting, the board asked to discuss this topic in April. We have quotes for a new stove and new refrigerator. After discussion with President Forgas and looking at our requirements, I would recommend purchasing the Royal Range at $4,299 from Dish Factory. The Range quotes are all the same except for the third one down from Royal Range and the Dish Factory. It says $4,799. This was for a four burner instead of six burner stove and a larger grill because Leo was letting me know that he uses the grill more than the burners. Basically, it costs an extra $500 to go down two burners. So he said the salesman at Dish Factory stated that grills are more expensive than burners. Go figure. In addition, the current refrigerator has rust inside and can cause issues when renewing our health permit. And I received quotes for a new refrigerator. I go with the Atosa for $3,349. It doesn't get a lot of use, but it does get used. Ideally, if I could have whatever I wanted, I'd have the Everest with the refrigerator freezer combo. But funds being what they may, I will save the extra $1,600.
So, Lori, on that refrigerator, I'll send you, I was at Costco Business down in Haven. And they had a nice beverage air. I don't know what size you're looking for, but I'll send you a picture, and I think that was about $2,000.
Ooh, okay.
Lori, do you know how old the refrigerator is that we have in there now?
I do not.
The bills were yellow, the instructions were yellowing, weren't they, Lori, when you found some of the paperwork?
You know, I did not find any instructions on the refrigerator. I can tell you that, like, the bottom metal is, like, pitted. How metal gets when it gets old, it gets pitted and kind of gravelly. That's what it's starting to look like.
Hey, can I ask Vicky a question?
I'm just kidding.
I'm ready. Hey, sir, you're not muted, by the way.
Can I
have a question for me, Leo?
Yeah. Now, when you guys do pancake
breakfast, I finished a while ago. I'm just
Leo, you
gotta mute him. I'm trying to stop muting.
I can see my name, but they can't see my face.
We can hear you, though.
We can hear you. We can hear you all, but it's just like, yeah.
Well, those crazy foods.
Hey, Kurt, can you hear us?
Yeah, hang on.
You're not muted, by the way.
We can hear everything you're
saying. There we go. You're muted now.
Dang.
No, you're unmuted. There you go.
Yeah.
You're good now.
Hey, Vicky.
Yeah.
On that grill, when you guys do pancake breakfast, is the current size grill sufficient or?
No, a larger one would be ideal.
Okay.
Because that's mostly what we use it for. We only use maybe one burner to cook some eggs, but the grill is.
So, I know that when Phil and Claire's with us have done dinner stuff, dinner shows, they use the burners. And I haven't thought about the pancakes. I was thinking most people aren't cooking burgers and that kind of thing. They're cooking, you know, pastas or they're using the oven. But I'm trying to think. We've done spaghetti.
We only used three burners for the cooking the 80 meals.
How many burners are in there now, Vicky?
It's six.
And my restaurant, I've got a pretty good sized grill, and I only have four.
Okay, yeah, I think we've had I think when we've done spaghetti dinners and stuff, we've had like 3 pots of spaghetti going and then had people bring in the sauces and crock pots and that kind of thing. So
a lot of that stuff you cook ahead of time and you can set it up on the grill to keep it warm.
Yeah.
It's just some tricks out there. So, Lori, what are you looking for? You need an approval to get that range?
Yes, I need an approval to get the range and then an approval for the refrigerator. If I can get it both from Dish Factory, it cuts down, at the same time, it cuts down on the delivery and installation and all that funky stuff. But the refrigerator at Costco is very entertaining. I just don't have a Costco card.
Was that commercial grade, Leo? The refrigerator at Costco?
Yes, there's a business center there in Haven.
Oh, okay.
And it's got some nice equipment there, and I happened to be there this morning, and I took pictures of it. But I don't know what size you're looking for, Lori, but I'll send the pictures over to you.
Okay.
We can hold off on that refrigerator piece and approve that, or do a vote on the cooktop, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Does Costco install and deliver?
No.
We have no way to get it to the building then. And nobody can install.
Well, the refrigerator is just plug-in.
Okay. Well, I've never had to install my own appliances, so I don't know exactly what just plugs in and what doesn't.
So, we
can... And take away.
What's that? Yeah, we could hold off on that refrigerator.
Okay.
Take it, and does the board want to think about the $4,799 four burner and large grill that we need to replace there in the kitchen?
Is this grill, Lori, got a pilot light? Are we going to have problems when you open the door and the pilot light gets blown out?
No, these are not pilot lights. These are electronic ignition, so there will not be a pilot light. In fact, technically speaking, it will be slightly less gas usage.
And how much, which one are we talking about? How much are we talking for the range?
$4,799. It's the small, it's 4 burners with a larger grill.
Versus the one you recommended, which was $500 less, right?
Yes.
And is that range delivered and hooked up?
Yes, but let's see, installation and haul away and delivery would be $459 more.
Vicki, when you've done a pancake breakfast and such in the past, when you don't have grill room, are you cooking on like a bunch of skillets, or what do you use to make the pancakes?
You cook a whole bunch of cakes and put them in that steamer tray that's next to the stove.
Okay.
The 3 compartments. That's how, you know, that way they keep them warm in there.
Okay, so you're cooking ahead in order to accommodate or compensate for it.
Right.
Okay.
So with the delivery and haul away and installation, you can do what, 9,100 something?
About $5,300.
$53. Okay.
I think we could do it. I'm preferential to more burners, but after listening to what Vicki said and Leo, and then just kind of thinking, you know, pancake breakfast is a great tradition. It's also an easy thing for groups to come in and do, as opposed to some of the more complicated dinners and that kind of thing. And the grill can be used for many other things. So, and in thinking back to all the dinners I've done there with Snow Line Players, I don't recall us using more than 4 burners at once. So, I would support the, you know, this is a once in a decade purchase, so I would support the one that fits our community's potential needs better.
Yeah, I agree too.
Okay, so can I have a motion?
So I'll move that we permit or support the purchasing of the stove
the brand that Lori recommended, but the one with the larger grill and fewer burners. And, well, let me just make that motion first.
Okay, I'll second it. All in favor?
I'd like to quote to at least have the cost of it. $5,300.
Okay.
Okay, so I move that we give Lori the authorization to purchase the stove that is approximately $5,300, including installation and hallway.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay, so then the other piece that I was going to say, but I don't think really belonged to the motion, is that Lori pointed out, Leo, that we would save some money. If we're going to purchase those appliances from the same company, we would save some money to purchase them at the same time.
Yes.
So I would like to suggest that, Lori, you work with Leo to see whether the Costco option is really viable. If it is viable and you think that may be the better solution, then just go ahead and purchase the stove this month. If it's not, then maybe you could hold off so we could get the authorization for the fridge next month to save that money.
So, Lori, I'm looking at this. You're looking at a three-door. Is that what we have? I thought we only had one single door in the...
No, it's a three-door.
Okay.
We technically don't need three doors, but that's what, you know, that's what's out there. We can do smaller.
There have been times I've seen that fridge almost to capacity. I don't know if it was the Lions Club. Somebody that did regular events used to bingo.
The Lions Club with the senior meals that they had during COVID, they did have it pretty much at capacity.
Well, then, but just during normal functioning, we had somebody that stored food there, and then when another group would come in and do an event, they used up the rest of the space.
Okay.
So I think it's pretty important to maintain the size that we currently have.
Okay.
You're always better with the refrigerator, especially with large groups cooking.
So, Lori, I take my quote back because I was looking at a single door, and that's what I thought it was that was in there. So, we could go ahead and move forward on this three-door plan. I saw a single door and a double door, now that's three-door.
Okay.
So, Lori, what was the cost of the one you recommended?
$3,349.
Does that include all the...
Yeah.
Okay, then I would move that we also give Lori the authorization to purchase the refrigerator for $3,349 combined with the stove for delivery together.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
So there's one other piece. The fire suppression system on the stove has to be disconnected and then reconnected. To my knowledge, it has never been, since I've been here, it has never been recharged, and that is like a year and a half, almost 2 years right now. It's supposed to be like checked every like 6 months, I believe, Leo.
Yes, it does.
So that is an additional cost of $400, which is over my limit. So I'm asking the board to approve that cost as well.
And is that Central Fire?
Yes.
Did you reach out to Dana? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so can I have a motion to increase or have the maintenance done on the ample system in the kitchen to $400?
Can we do that under this item? It's part of the verbiage on this item.
But it wasn't part of either of the financial numbers that I just gave in the motion.
No, it is not. It is not. It's about halfway down the page that I specify that would need to be done as well.
Yeah, the fire
system. Okay. So I think Sadie says so moved. Is that second? Yeah. Okay, second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed. So, Lori, you'll have the ample system, and then you'll have both the refrigerator and the range to take care of this month then.
So long as they have them in stock, yes.
Yeah.
I know the range is made down off of the 15 in Fontana, I believe. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
We got a message coming. Cam Wright was disconnected from the call. She has to be good readmit her.
Oh, okay.
Josh, if you could raise that hand, please.
Basically, everybody is way more expensive than we are.
there was an option on a couple of different websites that called for a discount for people who rent their buildings at least twice a month and for at least 6 months out of the year. So that would be somebody like the co-op or the farmer's market or something. So what I did on page 35 is I locked up some proposed rental fees. I also was suggesting a 10% discount for those repeat and multiple use renters. So that would actually bring it back down to the current rate. So if we raise everything to $15 and then do a 10%, say, to like co-op people that are in the same type of rentals as the co-op, it would bring it down to the current rate as it is right now.
Okay. I'm looking at this. Any comments?
Sorry, did you say, what page did you say you're ranking on?
It's the page after page. It's the page number is 35 at the bottom. If you flip it over to the next one, it would be.
It says
page one after that.
What page is it on in the online packet? Because my second packet only goes to page 32.
I believe it's in the third packet. Third. No, it's not. It should be in the second one.
No, the third packet starts at farmer's market.
Yeah.
So is it the one where you cross things out and
yeah.
Like
yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is close to the top.
Okay, yeah, that's close to the top. Okay.
So right where community building Monday through Friday is $15 an hour, non-residents $25.
Yes. I raised the non-resident rates a little bit more dollar wise than I did the resident ones.
Yeah.
And so the 10% discount would bring it back down to what we're at right now if this was approved?
Yes. If you guys decide to go with that. Just some of the areas had it, some of them didn't. I thought it was a nice idea, but then again, I don't know, you know, if we want to use that. Because we're not really raising it that much, so.
It really cleans it up.
I mean, I like the idea of offering the 10% discount because I remember when we visited this a few years ago, there were a lot of organizations that came forward that said that they wouldn't be able to rent if we raised the prices, and so. You know, I really don't want to raise the prices, but if we give the option for the reoccurring people or the people who, you know, rent regularly for it to be kind of what they're at now. I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the farmers market was making a case that it would be hard for them to hold the market if we were raising prices. Is that right? Michelle, do you remember that?
Yes, that is what they said.
That's the story that was given us, and yet, you know, if a $1.50 increase is so hard on them, they can always go down the hill.
Well, Phelan, they've got the same rates as what Lori's proposing.
Yeah, I know.
I just remember when we discussed this last time, there were several organizations that came forward that said it would be hard on them and hard on the operations.
And I will be very specific in regards to the next agenda item. It has to do with the farmer's market. I did let the farmer's market know that was going to be on the agenda, so they should be here. So if they've got any issues about the building rentals, it would be a good to bring it up now, but I don't know that they're on.
So, Lori, this is not on the farmer's market thing. The last time there was a lot of panic and commotion around things, but some of the proposals were very different than what's being proposed here. There was also a lot of misunderstanding on the side of the market. Sorry, I'm asking for some tech support for my kids because my screen is freaking out.
I said the agenda. You might just be looking at the agenda. I mean, right? I mean, that's how we're adjusting it. We wouldn't automatically do a 10%.
I would support it either way. I would support it because I think it's appropriate for us to raise those costs, and I would support the exception that you, or the discount you said, Lori, because in reality, the groups, and maybe it's also groups that just meet once a month but meet 12 months a year.
Yeah.
Some of these groups are the groups that provide the bulk of our of the income. And so I think, you know, a 10% discount, I would support that, but I would support it without it. Because we have a variance procedure, we have a system set up where people can come in and ask for exceptions to be made.
I'm okay either way. So who wants to put the motion out there?
Okay, I do have. Is there a reason, Lori, why it's $5 more for a resident to rent the building on the weekend and only $2 more for a non-resident? I would put that non-resident at $30.
I can do that.
Or it doesn't make sense to me that a resident is paying, they're still not paying more than a non-resident. They go up $5 for a weekend rental.
I was trying to keep it in line with what Seedling Pinyon Hills had, and their non resident was 25, so I didn't want to pop it up. But I think 30 is a better number.
Okay. So are you saying non-resident, that's 27? What about that 17?
The 17 is going up 5. Just like the resident rate, the weekend for the non-resident is the only one that didn't go up in the same amount.
I'm not sure what you mean by that, Lori. The per hour for the non-resident for the museum on the weekends went from 15 to 17. That's a $2.
Yeah.
It was $2 just like the one above it, the weekend rental for the community building. So what Leo, I think, was saying was change that 15 on the firehouse to 20.
Yeah.
Which would also make that a $5.
Oh, okay, for the non-residents, make...
I'm only talking non-residents, so you get that 27...
27 to 30, and the 17 to 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Indian Mill Park, same thing, 17 to 20.
Okay.
Let's make it all nice and clean.
Wait, did you know it wasn't...
It was...
That was 12, but it wasn't 17, it was 12. I don't think it should go up to...
Okay. Whatever you guys... Okay, let's do this.
So, which one, how much for the Vivian Mill? So I know,
what do the rest of you guys think?
I think it should just put it to 20.
For the non-resident,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, they can't get the system $5 above everything.
Okay, 20 for Vivian Mill?
For the non-resident,
sorry.
Okay, can I have a motion?
I move that we increase the rental fees for the schedule that Lori has given us.
Do I get a second?
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, the motion carries.
Am I without the discount?
Yeah, the schedule that Lori gave you didn't add 17 for
Vivian. No, I didn't put what I should have said, and including the changes that have been made.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. That's what I was going on to was what you said, or what Chuck intended to say.
Yeah, I think that should be reflected in the record.
Yeah.
So do we need another motion?
Well, just a clarification, the motion would be to approve the rental fee schedule as proposed by staff with the non-resident fee for the Vivian Mill Park stage at $20 rather than $17.
And there were some other changes, $30 for the weekend rental non-resident and $20 for the museum non-resident.
Okay.
Okay. And I have a rebuttal with all of that.
Okay, so do we need to recap all this one more time? Chuck?
Okay, I would recommend that we pass the increase for the facilities, the rental agreements, including the different changes that we talked about making. The non-resident levels, which basically is $20 weekend, home day, or the community building.
We can barely hear you, Chuck.
Security for all the changes that we talked about.
Okay.
Did they call? He's talking, but nothing's coming out.
Is that close?
Can we have the minutes reflect what those changes are? Given the comments that were made with respect to the farmer's market issue that came up, that's going to be discussed as the next item, it really would be good for the minutes to be clear as to what those changes are.
Can I state it and then let Chuck say so moved?
Roll for it.
We can make the motion and then...
I'd like to just state it. I'll let Chuck make the motion. But is that okay if I just state it? Because I'm really clear on what the changes just were.
Okay.
So we're talking about raising the rental fees in the community building for Lori's suggestions or recommendations with three changes noted. For the community building weekend or holiday rental, the non-resident rate would be $30. The old firehouse museum, Sunday through Saturday rental would be non-resident rate would be $20. And finally, the Vivian Knowles Park stage, Sunday through Saturday, non-resident rate would be $20.
So moved.
Okay.
Wow. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you,
Larry. Thank you. Moving forward. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you for putting that together. Okay, the next item on the board.
Before we continue, was that with or without the discount? I just want to be sure when I said I'm delivering.
That's without.
Okay, thank you. Part of the motion. Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to be sure.
Yeah. Item number 17, Farmers Market Protocols.
Okay, an email was received in the CSD office from the Farmers Market stating that Ron Frank will not be requiring masks at the Farmers Market. Further investigation and emails to Ron Frank found that during the June 2nd, 2020 meeting, the board voted to remove the mandatory mask requirement from the Farmers Market. The issue was not revisited when the state of California went back into lockdown. The current requirement from the county is masks are required. The board needs to revisit the farmer's market mask requirements.
According to what CJ told us early in the meeting, the mask, I just asked him about outdoor mask requirements. It sounds like that's still
in place.
Yes, masks are required indoors and outdoors. They have not removed any of those requirements.
Now, one thing that they did say I saw in the news was they're shooting for a June 15th timeline where Newsom is going to, the governor is going to give new guidelines or whatever. But basically, right now, the way I understand it is inside or out, you need a mask. Per the state. Anybody hear anything different?
No.
I have not.
So do we need to?
We did.
Go ahead, Chip.
We did allow the farmer's market and the park to have the option of using masks or not, but that was back in June when the state went on lockdown. We didn't revisit it, but based on what CJ just said, we can either, if ignore it and go against the governor, and I don't know what kind of penalties, if there are any or not, but I'm inclined to say, no, you need to still wear masks.
Well, I know that after what happened, you know, this, the email exchange, because my son puts up the signs for the farmer's market for Ron, and when we were there doing it on Friday, the sign, there is a poster board posted again on the sign that says mask required.
Well, I saw also Michelle on his wonderful email to us. He had talked about he's not going to require them other than the first hour of the market for the patrons, who I assume he means the senior citizens.
Or
for him to come out, you know, and basically advertise we're not requiring masks, you know, I'm not thrilled with that, but I also didn't like his email, so maybe I have a little bit of bias going there.
I had asked about the advertisement, and it was told to me that it was advertised on Facebook that there wasn't going to be masks required, but I did my own research on that. I didn't see that advertised on Facebook, so I'm wondering where the advertisement of masks is coming from. I don't want to operate on, like, hearsay.
He seems confused, too. He wasn't.
I mean, I had a guess in all the posts. I mean, there was over 10 posts from that day of the farmer's market, and there was nothing that said that masks were required. So
I would say we also, the office also gives email updates from the farmer's market, and it was included in the email update. And they do still have that, and I can forward it over to the board.
I think it's our general policy that indoor or outdoor, we're following county protocol.
Okay, great. Do we need a motion on this?
When I saw this item, the thing that was confusing to me is I believe that in December of last year, this item was brought back to the board. There were protocols that were adopted, and at item number 7 of those protocols say all shoppers in face masks while indoors or in line to indoors.
That was the protocols for using the community building, and he sees those as two separate items. The board told him he didn't need masks outside, but they need masks inside.
And that is one of the probably the factors that kept him outside at a limited capacity inside as well.
Are we also talking about item number 10, all farmers/vendors in face masks, both indoors and outdoors, and monitor too?
That still applies, and he says that vendors are all wearing them. But those provisions were specifically when he was requesting the permission to be able to come inside. And so he came up with the policies that he would need to adapt to for indoor rental. But Lori, what is the meeting date that you said where we discussed the park?
June 2nd of 2020 was where the board voted to open the playgrounds and to not require the farmers market to wear masks. It was all 3 months
when we all thought things were easing.
Yeah, it was 3 months into it before we realized we'd still be here.
We haven't revisited it. So my opinion is inside or outside, rentals in the community building follow county protocol, period.
That's it.
I agree. Just flag away.
Do you agree with that, Steve?
Absolutely. I figured that was already part of the... I read this policy, and I thought that was already part of the policy, to be honest with you. So
can I make a motion just so we have this fully clarified for our future? Is that appropriate, Steve?
Go for it.
Okay. I move that all community building rentals, indoor or in the outdoor parking lot, adhere to county protocol for mask wearing and social distancing.
Do I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion carries. I know Pam Reiser is for hand up. There she is.
No, she's clowning, I think.
No, I was just saying thumbs up on it. Thank you.
It's all right. That was applause.
Right. So, item 18, Brightwood Community Service District Church.
Okay. For the board's request at the last meeting, I've updated the quotes for the CSD shirts to polos in a light to a dark gray color. We can have the CSD icon embroidered or Brightwood CSD, just the words. The icon will be more expensive due to the various colors that are involved. Pricing is for 24 shirts, and that's where we get a price break, so there'd be enough to sell or give to volunteers. Four imprint came in at the lowest. They also sent me a sample. I requested a sample. They sent me a whole shirt, so I was very impressed. But, you know, basically it's just if you want to move forward with the shirt and then if you want to go with the icon or just the words.
I like the logo, personally. I think it looks more professional, easily identifiable. I guess I'm not really seeing the need for this. I mean, if we had money, but we're coming out of a year of not having money, and we don't really have events when, I mean, the last time I did anything to the, you know, in public as a member of the CSD was when we did the wood chip removal, and it was too hot that year before. I'm just wondering, I like, if we're going to do it, I want it to be money well spent. Where are we going to wear it? Right now, maybe in a year or whatever. There's,
next month, you could wear it to a board meeting.
I think, Lori, what you're saying is, we have, when Parks and Rec starts gearing up, you've got a couple of the employees that will do some work out there, and they're not noticeable, right? Because, or they're not recognized.
Right.
Way of the CSD.
That's true. I brought it up basically because I've gotten a couple of requests from various people asking about, do you have CSD shirts? Why don't you wear CSD shirts? That type of thing. So I put it on there. You guys wanted more information, so I gave you more information. If you want to shoot it in, I'm not personally invested either way. So
I think that's fine for now. Table it.
Yep. Yeah.
I like the idea, but when there's more of a need or pressing, or when we got money coming in from the softball league or something.
So, do you have a specific date you want me to table it, or a specific event?
Okay, with postponing it, I agree. I think we need to kind of be tight with our money right now, so I'm okay with that. The fact that the GSC employee is just there in the morning to set up the softball field, I don't think, you know, having one for them to wear so that people at the field can identify them is really necessary because they're not really there during the softball, you know, operations. They're there in the morning kind of by themselves, so.
Pam,
I think it's necessary for the softball season.
Okay, Pam Wright made a chat that says the board will be invited to participate in a special event on the Wrightwood Village Trail this summer. Speakers will be requested.
Now, I still have my thrifty baseball cap that Chuck had made for us, so I could just throw my baseball cap on, and then that's what I did the day we did with this.
So let's just table this item, and then we'll call it back in like 3 or 4 months.
Okay. When someone has been skilled beneath for it, then ask Lori to put it back in the agenda.
We'll just try to find a company out there that will sponsor the shirts.
Oh. Hey,
yeah. Okay, so solid waste management, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Every year, the board adopts or considers adoption of its ESFR money. It's solid waste management disposal facility fee. And that is filed with the both the LA County and San Diego County tax roll by August 10th. The board typically likes to bring this before the end of the budget year so that when your dump cards are issued that you've already adopted the for the following fiscal year. So last year was brought in April. This year it's being brought to the board in April. So the item has been agendized as a public hearing.
notices have been published, is my understanding, and...
yes, they have.
Okay, great. And so, at this point in time, the board president would need to open this item up for a public hearing, take public comment on both of the resolutions, then close the public hearing, and then the board can move forward with consideration of possible adoption of the resolutions that are included in agenda item number 20.
So I hear open public hearing for the solid waste management disposal fees. Any public comment out there? Okay, no. So I will close the public hearing for the solid waste management disposal fees, and I'll turn this to the board if there's any comments or recommendations.
I have a question. I know on the tax of the disposal fees 14 for the property taxes for these fees, and that's been from day one of the CSD. Is this something, Steve, that if we wanted to raise that tax, we could, or is that going to go at the county level?
A great question. For the board to raise this fee, it would be subject to Proposition 218, which would basically reopen the fee for a vote. And then at that point in time, you risk the possibility that that it will be voted down because the public would have the opportunity to vote on it. If you have a majority protest, then you would be prohibited by law from adopting the fee. If you wanted to increase it, what it would require would be for the board to engage an engineering consultant to present an engineer's report to the board to determine what the benefit conferred by the service that's funded by this fee on the property, what that actual amount is. And I will say that with the other CSDs in the area that have passed through this fee, where there's an engineer's report, the amount is significantly higher. So the district is leaving money on the table for this service. However, under Prop 218, it becomes difficult for an assessment because this is the process here is a lot different than a rate increase or something. And a majority protest would mean you would need to get more people voting in favor of it than voting against it. So it is very difficult to pass a property tax assessment on the voters because of the majority protest requirement. So the threat is that it would open up the fee to possible invalidation, in which case, without this fee, the district would no longer have the ability to invest. So that's sort of the fear, but at some point in time, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get an engineer's report to evaluate this fee and for the board to have a conversation about whether or not it would be worth moving forward with increasing this assessment and seeing if there is support for that from the public.
I don't see it happening now, but I was just interested in what our options would be if we wanted to do it. I think we ought to keep it the same right now.
Yeah, I would recommend keeping it the same, but I do feel that having an engineer's report that would provide an assessment, again, it would have to be the amount of the fee cannot exceed the benefit conferred on the property, because it's property tax, the benefit conferred on the property by virtue of the service being provided. So there would have to be that direct nexus between the cost and the benefit.
And this would have to go to a public vote.
Correct.
Thanks, Steve.
Sure.
Okay, so we need to get a motion here, right, Steve?
That's correct. For adoption of resolution number 2021-06 and resolution number 2021-07.
Okay. You can put that together.
Do we need separate motions for those?
You have a hand raised by Pam.
All right.
Steve, do we need separate motions for those two resolutions?
It does not require that, but if you want to do that, that would be fine.
Okay.
Okay. Pam's hand's down now. Okay.
If you want to say your comment, you're off of mute, Pam.
What thing, does that resolution include paying an engineer to do the study? And if so, where's the money for the engineer going to be coming into it?
No, that was just an idea.
Okay. That was for future.
Okay.
That is also a great question. And that could be built into the proposed fee. The district would need to upfront the engineering cost for that and then obtain the report. And then as part of that, if the board were inclined to propose a different amount, then the cost of that could be included in that new fee. But at this time, the board is not moving forward with that report. It's going to just simply pass through the existing fee that's been in place prior to the time that the CSD was in place.
Thank you for that clarification, Steve.
Sure.
Any of our board members object to these resolutions?
No.
No?
No.
I would move we pass resolution number 2021-06 and 2021-07.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
So with that, staff will need to do the work that needs to be done to get this information onto the county tax roll. I think the general manager is familiar with that. It's not an easy process to do. It's going to get it over to the auditor controller's office. I think the general manager is familiar with that, but it's extremely important that it gets done by August 10th.
Can you update us on that on the next board meeting?
Yes.
Your status, Lori?
Yes. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you. Item 21, reserves for capital improvements.
During the last meeting, Vice President Franklin brought up the need for a reserve for capital improvements account. So here we are.
Reserves for capital improvements. Okay. Chuck?
Well, I would like to see how much money we have, and I know that Lori gave us a list of the capital improvements, those type of things, and it would be nice to know what we're actually looking at. I know some of the capital improvements will be addressed with the grant money once we get the specifics on it. So that'll help on that. Do we actually need a specific reserve account? I'm not sure if we do, but I'd certainly like to know how much money we have for the additional improvements.
Okay, do you have any backup material on this, Lori?
I need that. Okay. Basically, it's what I said earlier.
We don't have anything for the board members to look at, right?
No, because I just calced this after the packet had gone out. Due to the way that our property taxes come in, we get two really big lump sums, one in November, one in April. Thereabouts, as property taxes are due on December 10th and April 10th. So we still have a rather large payment coming in for property taxes. My estimate is approximately an additional $120,000 up through the end of October. Our expenses, currently we have $120,000 in the bank. We're expecting another $120,000 And we have approximately $30,000 worth of recurring expenses a month. That leaves us with approximately $60,000 at the end of this tax period. Now, my estimates on the capital improvements, I believe, was about $10,000. But that's going to be actually a little bit higher because the refrigerator and the stove came in more expensive than I had anticipated.
So, Lori, can you put something together for the next board meeting so we can all take a look at on a spreadsheet instead of walking it through?
Sure.
And then I think some of Director Franklin's questions and my questions will be answered, but by just starting out numbers, I need some.
Basically, what I'm telling you is $60,000 is what we have to, is an estimate over and above what our normal expenses are going to be. We're going to have about that much income through October.
But the fiscal year ends in the end of June, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But the way that our property...
If money in October, it's going to be for the next year.
Right. But what I'm trying to tell you is the way our expenses come in and the way our property tax income comes in doesn't fit with how you had asked for expenses so that we didn't run out of money and have to hit the savings account at the end of the year.
Hey, Chuck, can you and Lori get together next week or so and then present to this in the next board meeting?
Sure. Is this specifically for the reserves, Leo?
That's what you're calling out on, right?
Yeah.
When to discuss the need for the account, the reserves, the capital improvements. I just want to see something, an artifact. Quickly go through, and then we'll be done. Okay, item number 22.
The 2021. The 2021-2022 fiscal year budget is coming due July 1st. We need a committee to review and present the proposed budget to the board and also for a public hearing.
So when do we have to have the public hearing? What month?
It has to be in place by July, so it would have to be June, I would think. Is that correct, Steve?
It has to be before July
1. Okay.
We got next month, right? It's got to be due.
Next month is May, and then there's June, so.
Okay. And then with that is the board adopts its appropriations limit as well. So typically what you have is board adopts the budget, and then following that would be appropriations limit that modifies what was approved by the electorate at the last election to reflect CPI increases. So staff would need to calculate that as part of the budget approval process.
Lori, you went through this process last year, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Chuck, you went through this process as well, right?
Yeah, it was Wes and I and Lori.
Okay, I'll jump in there and help you guys. If we just have the actuals, what we did for the last couple of years, I know it's going to be really weird because of what COVID did to us last year, but let's figure out a time and we'll meet and get this thing through.
Great.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Thanks,
Dad. I'm going through this trip now. Jeff, you've got some ideas on this?
Well, what happened was when we had the community meeting on the snow problem, one of the items that came up was we talked about increasing revenue, and one of the items that the public threw out was some type of thrift store. I know everybody uses Hellendale, but they have a huge building that they can utilize that supposedly they're close to $1 million on their thrift store. I just wanted to put it out in front of the board and in front of the public
that if there's somebody out there that's got some space or whatever, I know Alex Peterson ran a program chemo-wise for a few years and shared the space of the dry cleaners where she had a lot of her chemo-wise stuff and tried to sell it out of there. I don't have any knowledge or solution to it. I just wanted to put it out in front of the public and in front of the board that if that's something that the board thinks might be possible, you know, if we can find a place, that'd be great. If they don't think it's viable, let's make the thrift store, then that's fine too. I'm just throwing out ideas for revenue.
I think I talked with the general manager at Hollandale about this when the CSD was forming, and I think what they do to help get stuff to their thrift stores, they I don't know if they contract with or they get help from their trash supplier, Vertec, and Vertec will pick up items along, you know, when people put their trash out, they'll put, you know, a box out with donation items, and Vertec will take those and deliver them to their thrift store. That way, you know, it's not just people coming in and giving things. It helps them, you know, mitigate their trash service by, you know, picking up the donations and bringing them and selling them there. So I thought that was a really cool idea. I'm not sure if that's something we can do here with CRNR. You know, I can't imagine we could put the stuff in the same truck. We'd have to probably have a different truck or something, but it's pretty neat how they work together to make that happen.
Very cool.
Seems like something we should have an ad hoc committee for to do some reconnaissance and feasibility. And I would love to work on that, but I got to dip through the playground stuff or feel like we've got a real grasp on that. If we put this off for a couple months, I might be happy to jump on board and work on this.
The whole challenge is going to be the facility.
Yeah, in your garage, Miguel.
Yeah, because they have a whole back area behind their building where they could bring the Vertec trucks, they could drop it off. I think they even collected tires, you know, for like tire events and things like that at some point. So,
electronics too.
Yeah.
I feel like we need like a revenue something committee just researching all these different ideas. I'd like to be a part of that.
That'd be great.
So, when we're revisiting a couple months.
Okay, so can we put this back on the agenda in June, Lori?
You want June or you want to go out July?
Sure.
Okay, great.
July is fine.
And in the meantime, all of us can be just independently brainstorming ideas and such, so.
Yeah.
Get off your running start.
Okay, future board meetings, May 4th?
Star Wars Day.
May the force be with you.
Thank you, Natalie.
I'm such a nerd.
You've never heard that?
No, but I just mad myself in the face.
All right, as we digress. Anything else that we need to add to future board meeting discussions and anything with that?
I'd like to add the vision workshop that I was talking about. I don't know what to call it or what form that needs to be, but just something where the board gets together, kind of workshop through our goals and priorities.
Okay.
What do we need to do for that? Just put it on the agenda. So then we discuss it and figure out what to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Director's comments.
Before that, also, are we, for the May meeting, are we still doing Zoom, or are we going back to the community center now that it's open? I know Steve, has anything been done at the governor's level on the Brown Act that allowed us to be doing Zooms? Are we still okay to do Zooms, or where do we stand on that?
Yeah, the executive order that is currently in place that allows for board meetings to be conducted remotely remains in place. However, there are, to my knowledge, three pieces of legislation that are out there that would
make some of what we're doing permanent if a board elected it. One is Assembly Bill 339, another is Assembly Bill 361, and another is Assembly Bill 703, which I'm very familiar with because I wrote it. And it's one that would allow for districts and boards determining whether or not to continue to allow remote meetings to take place. It's currently kind of going through committee, and there have been some changes along the way. But in its current form, it would allow for these remote meetings. It would allow for districts to make boards to determine for themselves whether or not to allow remote meetings to occur, as long as a quorum of the board is physically present in the location identified on the agenda. That these laws are currently winding their way through the state legislature. I don't anticipate that there would be any action on any of these bills prior to your next meeting. So I don't believe that I'm surprised if by the next meeting the executive order has been lifted. However, a lot of boards are having their board members meet in person, restricting the number of members of the public that can attend, but also continuing to allow public participation remotely. So that's still kind of an area in which there is a lot of moving parts, and there may be some changes afoot, but at this point in time, that executive order N-2920 is still in place.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, so it's really up to the board if the board wants to meet in person, restrict in-person participation from the public, or whether you want to continue to be all remote like you're doing now.
I'd like to stay where we are until June and see if the state, opens up again. And they just now started to make the vaccination available, or maybe it's next week, but down to the age of 16. So I'd like to give everybody a chance to be vaccinated who wants to.
Okay.
Personally, anyway.
Well, I'm not invested one way or another, but I will say that tonight's meeting, I had the pictures of all the people, participants go in and out. Very difficult to see. Maybe it's my computer, whatever, but it's certainly gotten worse the last couple of Zoom meetings for me.
Those are all personal things.
Well, shame on me.
You're really restricting the board.
I was going to say, maybe you're not telling him anything he doesn't know.
Actionable information for him. Don't change those settings.
Guys, let's get together. You get your camera and mic, too. That would be awesome.
Chuck, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have a problem with staying on Zoom
for
at least May and June.
I would like to, it does concern me a little bit that there are some people that are unable to get to attend online, and I don't understand why, what that is. I had no problem getting on, and I haven't had any problems getting on, but I don't know where the disconnect is with respect to the agenda.
I'll work with Lori this week and get everything really streamlined and ordered well. So we just
and can we get it tested 24 hours in advance or at least earlier in the day? So if there is an issue, it gets solved long before the board meeting.
There's a way to streamline all of this. So I'll get with her this month and then we'll work on. She's granted me access to the Facebook page now too, so I'll work on getting a lot more advertisement out and directions on how to join and create a Facebook group. That way you can just go to that and click the link. And there's a lot of stuff we can do next week here.
Thank you, Sadie.
It'd be great to get the link on Facebook.
If someone comments,
the website itself. And when I do click the link on the agenda there, it doesn't go to this meeting. So that, I think that's where the problem is. Like, you can click the link from the website itself where it's posted on the homepage, but when you open the agenda and you have the PDF of it and you click on the link there, that's what doesn't work.
It's what's programmed in as a hyperlink, I'm sure.
All right, thanks everybody.
Meeting
adjourned.